There we go. Don't say anything you wouldn't say. We are dealing with David as he's setting up his battle with his son. He's in Mahanaim. Abshalom has brought his army across the Jordan. And we were looking at Pirkei Tehillim, that kind of at least give us a sense of the sort of feelings, the emotional state that David has. Not necessarily that they were written for this incident, but they fit in the general theme and the general context in there. And everybody's turned their screens off, so I can't get any feedback at all. I was muted and video off. Right. Thank you. It's always nice to get some kind of feedback. That's okay.
I'm drinking.
And like, everyone should have their coffee with them. And another Pirkei Tehillim that I wanted to bring in as well, that's definitely not explicitly connected to David, because it's not written by David. It's not attributed to David at all. But I think it has the same theme of this, what do I do now? Things are getting bad. Will things get better? Things were great, and now things are worse, and we try to go forward. And that's Tehillim Mem Dalet. Tehillim Mem Dalet is Lama Seach Lubnei Korach Maskil. We translate Maskil as a lecture or something of moral basis. And this is not a Ludavid Tehillim, as Robert Alter, a David psalm. This is a Bnei Korach song. Who are Bnei Korach? Aside from being the descendants of the original Korach who rebelled against Moshe, they were Levim, and they describe them in Divrei Yamim. El asher hemid David al yidei shir beit Hashem. These are the ones that David appointed to lead the shir, the singing, in the... it's not the Beit HaMikdash, it's not the Mishkan, rather. This is in his Aron, where his Ohel, where he put the Aron. In Yerushalayim, Bimunach Aron, from the time he set the Aron up, and they would say Tehillim there every day. You Mishur Tim Utnam Mishkan, and there are those who would also be serving in front of the Mishkan. So he had like the old joke: there's Shuli went to, the Shuli didn't go to. Right? He had the Mishkan, the old Moed, Bishir Ad Benot Shlomo at Beit Hashem Yerushalayim, and they were doing the Mishkan and in Yerushalayim in front of the Aron until Shlomo built the Beit Hamidash and brought them together. The Amduk Mishpatam Alavatam. And this was everything was organized in their service. Elahemid Ibnahem, it was Mehakati Haman, Amisharer. So Haman was the name of the lead singer. He's Ben Yoel Ben Shmuel, he's the grandson of Shmuel, that's Shmuel Navi. Ben Elkanah, he's the father of Shmuel. Ben Yerachem, Ben Eliel, Ben Toch, Ben Tzif, and this is Divrei Yamim, which has got everybody's name. Ben Elkanah, Ben Melchim, Ben Avishai, Ben Elkanah, there's a lot of Elkanahs in there. Ben Yoel, Ben Azariah, Ben Sephaniah, Ben Nazim, Ben Avi Asaf, Ben Korah. This is the descendant of Korah, who's leading the Shira in the Mishkan. Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kat, Ben Levi, Ben Yisrael. That's his ancestry. The Bnei Korach, presumably the other Bnei Korach, are cousins of Haman, who's the Mishareh, who's the choir master at the time of David. And the Parakim are almost all, there's 11 Parakim that are Bnei Korach, they're almost all Leva Menetzeach, for the master. You know, for the choir master, that's Haman. And they're called the Maskil, which we translate as being a lecture, polemic. There's a message in there. And they have a very different feel from the Tehillim that attributed to David. Some of them are very upbeat, very patriotic, very nationalist. We say Shir Shal Yom for Monday, which you know from Masos Kal Aretz, that Yerushalayim is the most beautiful city in the land. Har Tzion, Yarkot Tetzafon, that the Mount Zion, Yerach, the thighs, the legs of the north.
What's Yarkot?
I'm sorry?
What is Yarkate?
Yarkate means the sides. Yerach means the thigh. I would say the sides. Something about the support of the north. We can look at Memcha and see what that means. But that's a very happy one. How wonderful Yerushalayim is! It's beautiful. Everybody comes there. It's great. Some of them are much more negative. You're a terrible person. You should get better. They're not. you know, David Tilim, even if they start negative, they always end up on a positive note. The Korach ones will sometimes start happy and end up on negative ones, and on a negative note. And they have a very different feel than other Prakim with Tehillim. And this one here starts out with a note about how glorious the history of Israel was. I'm going to say actually the Korach Maskil. The Kudot here. Elkim Oznenu Shamanu Avotenu Siprulanu. Oh God, we've heard these things. Our fathers have told us about that. You did all these deeds in the days of past. Atayadcha Goyim Harashta Unatatem. You, by your own hand, O Lord, wiped out the other nations and planted them. That's our Avotenu, our ancestors. Taralu Umim did bad things to the other nations, but Shalchem, and drove them away. Lo Bachar Bam, Yoshuaris, because they, our ancestors, did not inherit the land because of their swords. Uzra'am lo Hashiel Lamo, and their arms didn't save them. Imin Chazracha, or Panacha. It was you, God, your strength, light of your face, you to tell me, because they found favor in your eyes, you favored them. And then he continues on. Well, once they were okay, this was wonderful. Hashem, you brought us into the, you brought our ancestors into the land, planted us here, and then what happened? Vatahu Malki Elokim. You are my king. Getting personal. Oh God, Tzave. It's a Tzivoy right here. Please, oh God, you command your Yeshua Yaakov. Allow us. You should save us, oh God. Because with you, we attack our foes. It's with your name that we trample our enemies. Those stand up against us. I have no faith in my own bow. I know that my sword will not save me. So in the past, you saved us. Now, God, do the same for us right now. Yoshata Mitzarenu Misanenu have Ishota. Because you have saved us from our enemies in the past. And from our enemies you have Misanenu, that's not from our enemies, that's our enemies, you have discomforted. Yutar Busha means to not answer their prayers. Thwarted. Okay, but their goals weren't fulfilled. This is all good. Kim Hilanu Kolayom, we praise you all day. Shimchal Olam Nodeh, and we acknowledge you all the time. Selah. End of paragraph. Hold that thought. That's wonderful. But Afsa Nachta. But now you've abandoned us. You've rejected us. Batech Limenu, and we're disgraced. Now you're not going out with our armies. What's happened? Back over here. You have pushed us to the back. You turned us around in front of our enemies. And we don't know exactly what he's referring to, but the idea that in the past you've saved us, God, but now you have not. And you've placed our enemies before us. We are now like sheep being eaten. Goyim Zarina, we're scattered among the nations. Timkar Amcha Belohon. You've sold us for no profit. Right? This is similar to what the Yehuda says about selling Yosef. Right? Ma Betzak. What profit are we getting? What benefit do we get if we kill our brother? Let's go ahead and sell him, right? At least they made some money off it. God, you just sold us into captivity, and there's nothing good coming out of it. Lori Vita Mechirotehem, you didn't make enough money when we were sold into slavery. What's interesting about this, again, different from a lot of the other Tehillim that we've seen, is Tekina. This is this is a lamentation, it's a complaint. There's no sense of responsibility. There's no, you sold us because of our sins. We acknowledge this is our fault that these bad things are happening. Here it's, you've sold us for no reason. You're going to God and saying that you've abandoned us and we don't know why. And Phyllis does add that the brothers didn't sell Yosef. That, right, that's the Rashbam, and that definitely, I agree, that's definitely a way to read that. They're still at fault for having sold him. Even though they didn't make any money off of him either. I would agree with that, but they threw him in the pit and he was kidnapped. But here, again, this is a complaint to God. Like, why have you sold us? Timkar Abcha Belohon, you've sold us for nothing. There's no sense here that the people are acknowledging, they're saying, okay, we've sinned, we deserve this. Again, it's a very different way of looking at it. And then he argues that you should save us, not because we were wonderful. It's nothing to do with us, right? God, you abandoned us, whatever reason you have, I have no idea, but you need to save us because it is a chilul Hashem. Right? If you don't save us, then it was, let us know that God, you can't save your own people.
In other words, what would the Goyim say?
Yes. Right. It's a Shander from the Goyim who do this. You see, Menu Kherpal is Shokhanena. We have become an embarrassment to our neighbors. That's an interesting translation, the butt of our neighbors. Lag Vachelas. They're mocking us, insulting us. This is Yotan, I'm going, all those around us. Now we're just a story among the nations, an analogy. They're going to say, "Oh, you better be good, or you'd be just like those Jews who got exiled." Menod Rosh Balumim. I'm not sure what Menod Rosh means here.
Isn't node like a point?
A node?
No, isn't it? You know. Back and forth?
Like nodding? No, but nod. Okay, that's probably what it is, right? You're shaking the head. No, Rosh. I mean, they're shaking their heads at us. It translates as laughing stock. That's not bad there. And Phyllis points out the word here, keles. I mean, that's a word meaning, I mean, it's actually interesting because in modern Hebrew, in tefillah, we use it as a term of praise. In tefillah, it's usually in the sense of insulting. Okay, kol yom kilamti negdi, and now it's switching back and forth between the plural and the singular. Again, we've seen that throughout the Hillim. You know, this is about people of Bnei Israel as a whole, but also personal to the psalmist himself. All day, my shame is in front of me. I'm aware of how awful this is. Boshet panai kisitani, the shame covers me. Kol mecharef megdei, from the sound of all those who are insulting and cursing. Bnei oyev mitnagdei. I mean, I came in front of my enemies and those who get vengeance against me. Right? Not only am I embarrassed about it, but I can hear it happening. Everyone's laughing at me. Everywhere I go, they're just talking about me. Sorry. That's a street mic. And Phyllis asked about the Migadef. Migadef usually means someone who blasphemes, to curse God. So here it doesn't sound as interesting about God, curse Bnei Israel, but he is implying that's the reason why we should be saved. That these are bad, but this is that's where it makes the connection with the Chilul Hashem there. So Migadef, almost, oh, that's the story where but it's a ish ben Yisraeli to ben Mitzri. He's Megadeth. Blasphemy, the curse in the name of God.
Just want to point out a nice poetic that Mecharef u'Megadeth. It's nice together, right?
Yes.
Even visually. You know what I mean?
Mecharef u'Megadeth.
Yeah. Nice. I don't know when I could use that, but it's nice.
I just want to insult somebody, basically. You know, you're writing nasty letters to the editor in poetic Hebrew. That's always a good use that in case that ever comes up. So that's what's bad happening, right? Hashem, you were wonderful. Things were great. You brought us to the land, and then you abandoned us, and we've lost, and we're now the butt of everybody's joke. That's where they are now. Now, how are we going to get back? Not by praying, but by pointing out to Hashem that, no, we have been faithful through all this. Right? Based on the premise that we of Knesset Israel, everyone together, have remained faithful despite what Hashem has done to us. Kozo's Batel. All this has happened for us, Lusha Haknucha, and we still haven't forgotten you. Lusha Karnu B'Britecha, we have not violated your breath. Just listening to this, you're complaining about God here. And the implication is that God abandoned the breed, not us. No point is there an implication of we did this wrong. We have not. That's what he's saying. And the Korach are telling is saying that we've never violated the breed. Lo nasoga chor libeinu. You have sent us, you've sent our enemies behind the soga chor. We never turned around. Our hearts never turned. Teta shreinu mani orchecha. I think I'll translate that. Atet Ashurenu, our steps, in the sense of Ashur, our steps, have never moved mini Archecha from your path.
Danny.
Yeah.
I looked up Gadev, or Migadev, Alkali Dictionary. It says to abuse, insult, scorn, curse, taunt, blaspheme, revile, defame, call names, vilify.
All in one word there. That's definitely a good word. Okay.
That's what it says.
Generally applied to God, as in blaspheming God at the blaspheme side. But here it's applying to the people. We are the subject of this.
Remember, this is a modern dictionary.
Right? But still.
Ashurenu is
our footsteps. Yeah. That happens a fair amount. I'm not thinking offhand, but we do see that. We have seen that before. You can see what let's do this in English. Mitzvah David. No, he doesn't need to comment on Ashurenu. Let's see him. Asher, here we go. Here's the mitzvah. Tzion, translating the word Asherenu is Raglenu, our feet. One line there.
Funny, because there are so many other words that come to mind, like Osher and Ashur and our feet. Okay.
I would say it definitely happens. It's definitely there.
Yeah.
Where'd it go? Okay. So you have, all right, our feet have not gone behind you. Because you've crushed us in the place of the jackals, right? And that's always the expression for the abandonment of wilderness. You've covered us with the shadow of death. If we had forgotten, right? If we had forgotten you, O God, and we had raised our hands to some foreign God, Le'ohim yechakarzot, God, you would know this. Because you know everything that's in our hearts there. And this is not, please save us. We did wrong. I'm sorry. This is, we've been perfect. Why are you doing this to us? You know full well that we have not abandoned the Brit. Because we have been killed in your name all the day, all time. We quote this in Tachanun. We had sheep led to the slaughter.
You know, before that phrase even, I was having kind of like a Holocaust feeling, like this is what people would have said. Why are you, we've been okay, we've been good, why is this happening?
Right.
And now with this sheep thing, it strengthens it.
Absolutely. I think that's the message here of this Perek Tehillim. Again, that's why I'm saying it's very different from the David Tehillim, which will be all Gamzul Tova, like, yeah, things are bad, it'll get better. This is you know, things that happen are deserved and we'll learn from this. This is just, you know, why is this happening? You know, this complete mystery of, okay, we've done everything right and we're still led as, you know, sheep to the slaughter. I mean, this is real. You know, this is not, you know, Talim isn't holding back. It's not beating around the bush. This is, right? This is the way Rabbi Meltzer puts it. Kilecha harag nikolya. We've been killed, always, for your sake. Debitui ha'az biyoter lamot kadashia. Right. This is the strongest expression of martyrdom. Zesh darchov ba'koach. This is the strongest obligation. Tivya hanafutz biyoter. Chagnes Yisrael magi shalim parish baruch. This is the bill that that Bnei Israel are presenting to God. You owe us for all of this. Alecha al shimcha al kadosh shimcha. Because we are Jews. Yes, so that's your point about the Holocaust as well, but this is not, the Holocaust is not sui generis. It's not unique. I think if you think it that way, then you're missing the point of Jewish history. This has happened over and over again. This is expressed here in the Kama Pshutot, Yesh Bibitui Kol Yom, Havad Muvan Kol Yomim, that Kol Yom means a number of different things. It can mean all the time. All days, kol zmanim, in all times, kol zman bidan, all periods, kol dor vador, omdim olino lechalotenu, as we say in the Seder, kol yom. That's what that means. It has happened throughout history. Ishchozak asum, yikav pashtutzu. There's a real strength in this simple language here. Sheishban nima yaldutit pashtanit. It has a sense of being almost of simplistic and childish, but that gives it its power. This is explicit. This is not, again, not beating around the bush, not a euphemism. This, alecha harag nikol yom. And then we say, lama panecha tastir. Oh, right here. Back to Pasuk Rer. Ura. Wake up, God. Lama tishan, why are you sleeping? Ah, Hashem. Akitza, wake up. Don't abandon us forever. Right? Start this section after the Sela started out with Lama Zanachta. Now please, okay, you have abandoned us. We see that. Now please don't abandon us forever. Lama Panecha Tastir. Why is your face hidden? Tishkach Anienu Lachatseya. You've forgotten our affliction. Our oppression. Because we are bowing down, prostrate, face down in the dirt. Our bellies on the ground. Kuma Ezra Talanu, save us for your sake, because you are faithful. And it ends there. Right? I mean, this is not the sort of thing you sing in shul. This is far too depressing. But it's in Sefer Tehillim because it is a legitimate approach to suffering. I'm acknowledging that this is real, this sense of why I don't have an answer here. This is bad, and everything we believed in has been lost, right? God, you've abandoned us for no reason. It's not what we deserve it. And I say it here because we're looking at David here, who's in exile, whose son is trying to kill him. He doesn't know where it is. We've put other Tehillim that will say, God, I have faith that you'll save me. You know, this will get better. I have sinned. I deserve this. But I can't imagine David never felt this way as well. In the narrative, we never see that. Right? The text of Shmuel and of Tehillim is always David has his perfect faith. But there's a real person behind the text as well. And I think at some point he would have felt this sense of being abandoned here. You know, this idea that he's paid for the sin of Bathsheba and of Uriah, he's done his teshuva, and he's still starving in exile. And he can't even fight for himself. Right? Well, we left the story there where his people are going out and they tell him, you need to stay behind. You're getting too old to do this battling here.
So, a little pushback that...
Yeah.
We don't see David expressing this, doesn't
he? No, I agree.
He might not have. It's not his way of viewing the world. why would you say, well, he must have felt this way at some point?
It's hard to imagine he never felt that way.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I think any human being would feel that way at some point.
Not any. People have different. We don't see it.
We don't see that anywhere in the text. And that's me saying that, yes, I think David, again, as a literary character, as a character in the story that we see, he is always, I have faith in Hashem, and what happened to me is deserved. And he says it, you know, if God rejects me, then so be it. I'll be in exile. If he lets me come back, wonderful. That's perfect.
He has to be pretty devastated that his son is once again trying to kill him.
So, Phyllis, you're absolutely right. There is no hint of that whatsoever in the text.
Not even in the text, but in the Tehillim that we attribute to him. This is not his way of viewing the world.
I agree completely. That's my entire point.
But you're saying he must have felt this way sometime.
He might have. No. It's hard to imagine that he wouldn't. Okay, and I may be wrong entirely, and I agree with you.
You're wrong.
What did you say in that last comment? I didn't even hear. But at least we can say the fact that it is included in Tehillim gives it legitimacy. It's okay to feel that way.
Right. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to feel that way, but that's not David's way.
I will certainly give you that.
Okay.
There are some Psalms where he starts off feeling isolated and abandoned, and then he turns to Hashem, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have those original feelings.
Right. So the Tehillim that David Wright always start out with, even if you abandoned me, Heli, Lama, Zavtani, and all.
Right.
It always ends up on a positive side. Right. The Tehillim that David always ends up positive, okay, this will work out.
So Ruthie, we need you to chime in, Ruthie, on human nature. And there are just different ways that people.
You think it's possible for a human being to be that good, that never, despite things are terrible?
No, he has despair, but not this kind of feeling.
Okay. And I would agree that I have no evidence in text for this. This is just me trying to think about human beings.
Right.
And it would not, but I guess kind of my point is that the Tehillim of David never go this down. And of the sense of, I am like that, but this is it.
This is his alter ego.
This is, if you want a psychological term. But this is right. This is somebody else. This is Bnei Korach, right? Who have a different set of Tehillim. You can go through their Tehillim, and they have a very different feel and different sense to them. But not all Tehillim is of David. You put it as being is edited together. It's one safer there. They're all legitimate ways. This is a legitimate approach to suffering. Not look for an answer or for blame, simply, yo, this is bad. God, why? And if you left the question, that's all right. Now we're going to go back. That's the Tehillim now. Now I want to go back to the text, the story of the Civil War. And it's going to be really short. We're not going to have a lot of drama, no special effects in this war here. If we remember, David set his army out, they all go out, and then his people tell him, David, you need to stay behind. You're too valuable. You're 65 years old. You're not going to do any good leading us into battle here. You stay back in Machanayim behind the closed doors, and we'll come and get you. And the king says to them, what's good in your eyes, I will do. Fine, I'll stay back. Imagine the feeling of this David, you know, the great warrior who's being told, no, you can't do this anymore. So he stays at the gate. He's watching everybody walk by and hundreds and thousands of his army. David commands Yoav, Abishai, and Iti, who are the three leaders of his three branches. We saw that last time. Of the army, Lemar, he says, La'at li lanar Avishalom. Go slow, go easy on Avshalom. Okay, Avshalom's leading this battle, but I don't want, you know, presumably, we understand this, but I don't want you to kill him. Kol am shamu b'tzavot ha'melech. Kol asarim al-davar shalom. And everybody heard publicly, everyone knew that David wanted them to go easy on Avshalom. That's going to be important. And spoiler alert, because Yoav's going to have Avshalom killed, and everyone's going to know that that's not what David did. Wanted, rather. They say, Yisrael, and they all, and people went out to battle against the rest of the army of Israel. And the war was in the forest of Ephraim. Let's see where that is. And the army of Israel was wiped out by the army of David. And the plague was great. 20,000 died in this civil war. And the war spread out among, on the whole land. And the forest was hungry. And the forest took more people than the sword. More people died in the woods than died by the sword by Yamahu in that day. That's the story of the battle. Let's go back and look at it. So first, David is standing by Yamod HaMelech. He's standing at the gate as he's watching his army leave there. And this is the Chumot Anach, this is the Chidah, saying, Yish mi shepera sheyama betfilah. That's what Amida means. Is he's diving. That's all he can do. He can't fight anymore. He's going to be sitting there saying his Tehillim. In Amida ela tefilah. Masha Chazal amru lo sheyazrum betfilah. Tell that that's what David, all David could do right now is pray on their behalf. Charlie's the Fize, the Darash, the Fize, Zeshakatav, Al Yarashar, that this is why it says specifically he stands at the gate. Lamar Al Derek, what it says, by Yseva Panav El Akir. That we had the idea that we dive in toward the wall there. That's what he's doing here. This is the this was a discussion of Chizkio. We turn to the wall and Vitpilel Al Hashem. This is the same standing by the wall of the city and davening. There's a hint of Amidah. That's what he can do. And they and then the battle happens in something that's called Yar Ephraim. We already know that this is on the east side of the Jordan. Ephraim's territory was on the west side of the Jordan. So what's Yar Ephraim? So the Mitzvah David says, Yar Ephraim, Avshenachlat Ephraim haita be'evra yaden hamaravi. Ephraim's territory was all on the west side. It's Menashe that has the territory where Menachayim is. This battle is happening in the territory of Menashe on the east side. Gemru Ravatina Zal, that's the Chazal saying above Kama, Yeshua Tiken Shul Yapidu HaShvatim Ze'al Ze'. That part of the Takana, when they all came to Eretz Yisrael, and each tribe had its own territory, one of the federal laws was that they shouldn't be makbid. They shouldn't be so concerned. They shouldn't enforce their territorial integrity. Each tribe should be allowed to graze their animals in other territory. So Ephraim had an area that they would go onto the other side of the Jordan in the territory of Menashe, that they would graze their cattle. That was the called Yar Ephraim. Ephraim wrote in a and that Bnei Ephraim raised their cattle in that area. That's why it was called the Yar Ephraim. It's important because we've seen the previous civil war that's exactly happened in this area here, where you had all these Ephraimites living in Menashe, even though they're supposed to be one nation. Especially before David pulled them together, and even now when they're not quite pulled together, each tribe hated each other. One, and they.
Danny, I got kicked off, so I missed the part about Ephraim.
So the battle happens in Yar Ephraim.
Oh, is that where they had the thing with in Shoftim?
Ooh, good call. Yeah, so you didn't, you were paying attention. Yes, so this is Yiftach. Yiftach goes to war against. Midian, if I'm remembering correctly. And then he comes back, and then if Yiftach is from Menashe, from the Gilad, which is part of Manasseh, on the west side of the Jordan. And Ephraim comes and complains to him, why don't you help us? Why don't you come? Why don't you let us come with you? And then somehow this ends up in a massive civil war. Like, what's Yiftach call Anshe Gilad, but Yilachem et Ephraim? Yiftach gathers all the people of Gilad, of Manasseh, and they fight with Ephraim. They call Anshe Gilad et Ephraim, and they attacked Ephraim. Yamru, Plitei Ephraim, that the refugees of Ephraim, Otam Gilad betoch Ephraim, that you are here in Gilad among the other Ephraimites, betoch Manasseh. You are in the Ephraimites who are among Manasseh. But there's this community of Ephraim that's in Manasseh, which originally was the Takana of Yeshua. When they came to the land, that they're all going to live peacefully together, and it's okay, you can come to my land, I'll come to your land, that works out. But as soon as something goes wrong, that's almost a symbol of, they are aliens, we do not accept refugees and strangers in our land. You're from a different country. You're Ephraim, you're not one of us Manassehites. The Kod Gilad et Marvot Yarden, and the Giladim took the fords of the Jordan, the Ephraim that went over to Ephraim. So always B'nai Ephraim want to cross back over the Jordan to get back to Ephraim territory. V'yakiyamru plitei Ephraim evra. So when any of the refugees from Ephraim would say, let me go over, v'yumlo anshe Gilad, Ephrati ata, and then the people of Gilad would ask, are you an Ephraimite? V'yomer lo, and they'd say, no, I'm some other tribe. I'm Manasseh. I just want to come across the Jordan. You know, right? You remember the story. So they tell them, so what's that whirlpool over there? What do you call that? And the Ephraimites would say, it's a Sibolet. Because that's the way they pronounced it, and then Manasseh pronounced it Sibolet. So they would grab anyone who couldn't pronounce Sibolet correctly in the Manasseh terms, and they would slaughter him. El Marvot HaYarden, right there on the ports. 42,000 refugees from Ephraim were killed. But they didn't talk, they talked funny. And that's Yar Ephraim, that this civil war is happening here. I mean, doing a little bit better, it's only 20,000 instead of 40,000. So we're moving in the right direction, right, for these civil wars in Israel. And it makes the point that more people died in the forest than died by the sword. And I think part of that is the idea of what the Rambam says, is that that's the sense of panic. That the war spread out in the whole land, it appears, but when they fell in the hands of the army of David, they panicked. Fear was in their heart. And all the soldiers spread out, ran away. Here and there, and the wild animals took them in the forest. That was more than they were killed by the sword. I think the emphasis here is that David commanded his people, let's go la'atlanar Avshalom, go easy on Avshalom, but he also wanted them to go easy on the rest of Israel as well. He's still the king of all of Israel. He doesn't want to kill everybody. He needs to keep everyone united as much as possible. So he's emphasizing, don't kill everybody, but what happens anyway, Melissa's got a comment.
I noticed before there was a mention of a magefa. Do you think maybe that's what the references to the deaths in the Ya'ar?
I mean, the idea of a literal plague as in disease. Yeah, I think that's what it's talking about. The Magefa here, but I don't think it's a literal, it's a disease. It's the death in the course of this battle. Magefa is the Allah. Right. I think they're killed in battle. That's the Kharev.
Okay, it's not a plague, like a disease.
Yeah, thing. I don't get that sense here because it mentions the Vayarev Hayar Le'achol Ba'am, that the death was because of the forest.
Okay.
But Rabak says it was the animals there. You know, the truth is that historically more people die of disease than of fighting in wars. That's what cholera and typhus and all just would wipe out armies. So that's possible that it was diseased here. But the phrase of Vayar Hayar, it was that Hayar Le'achol, that the forest ate them.
And we see Magefa referring to warfare other places.
As a metaphor, I mean, as a metaphor?
Magefa.
I have to think about it.
All right. A thought.
It is. Now, it's possible that the death was disease as opposed to animals there. But my point is that it wasn't from the fight. That is trying to get everyone to hold back as much as possible, right? He's going to win. We know that. But he wants to be king of all Am Yisrael. He's got to bring them all back. So he can't.
Danny, I have to say, as somebody who's a tree hugger and likes to go hiking,
yeah,
this seems very unusual that this whole army would be attacked by wild animals. Because if you've ever been on a hike, you might see some wild animals. I'm not saying there's not a bear here or there or whatever, but you're not going to find 500 lions or something.
Okay. The truth is that you've never been in a wild area.
Mm.
Right? Anywhere you're going to go has been pretty well civilized, and the animals there are being managed by the Forest Service. Right. Okay. If there's a bear out there that's attacking people, it's going to be taken down pretty fast.
Yeah, but I'm just saying there's not going to be 500 of them.
Right. So I think this is more than natural, right? This is definitely got some miraculous side of it. Perhaps that does argue for the disease rather than the animals there.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that if you really are a tree hugger, it was the trees themselves attacking them, right? We all read Lord of the Rings. They were attacked by Ents.
Oh, that I could believe.
Okay, there you go. So the Ya'ar Le'achol is literal, and there are Midrashim that would say that as well, because we're going to see later, right? Who kills Avshalom? The big oak tree.
I thought his hair got caught in something.
In a tree, right? So could be. But my point is that it was what they, the ones that died in the Yar was more than that was killed by the sword. That the devil is trying his best to avoid killing everybody. He's done this throughout the time, and the tragedy that just doesn't work. Right? The army has died, and we've got the tragedy of Avshalom coming up, that he really doesn't want to have Avshalom killed. That's going to happen anyway. So, David saved, yay, it's wonderful, but things are still going to get bad. I will stop here. Any other comments?
That's pretty sad.
The whole morning was sad. This is a bad way to begin the day. What are you doing to us?
Tanakh. You want happy stories? Read Berenstain Bears.
There you go.
I'll have to order that.
Okay. Oh, let's go back let's go back to Happy Tehillim.
The good story. In the little gift bag from Beis Eiv, they gave a nice book by Ruth Calderon, very soothing. I like that book. Did you see this book, Danny?
I did not. I don't have the gift bag.
I'll have to show it to you. Hold on.
Here we go. Last part, right?
Ruthie, different people got different books.
Rainy Day Story.
By Ruth Calderon. It's very nice.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'll
get that one.
Okay. Well, I'll give it to you, Jan, to read. It's very good. And Danny, thanks, you can borrow it. David, whoever wants it.
Put that here that we did last time, the David Tehillim that talked about being abandoned and starving, that ends on Batahu, Vishnatahi, Yoyutamu, God, you are forever. Your years will never end. The children of your servants will dwell with you. And their descendants will be planted before you for eternity. And we will end on that note.
Thanks.